grow larger and larger, curling and twisting. And what began as an invisible shade has turned into a monster.
If you believe you can move the highest mountains, cross the greatest oceans, and walk across the water, you feel defeated, falling on your knees and looking up for some hope tonight. You try to stand up, but you throw your hands up, like you no longer have the strength to fight. 'Cause you've seen too many sunsets, too many days ending in the darkest night. But on your own, you'll never know, you'll never know. If you believe you can move the highest mountains, cross the greatest oceans, walk across the water, believe you can move the highest mountains, cross the greatest oceans, walk across the water, if you believe.
That song came out 2 years ago, 2023, and has 25 million views on YouTube today. It's a catchy, feel-good song about when you're thinking about believing. That brings good feelings to mind. Good feelings, tugs at the emotions of the heart, kind of makes it feel good about believing. If you believe, you can move mountains, walk across the water, part oceans. If you believe, you can do anything. Is that true? Because if it is true, it sounds like a good hope, if it is true. Well, welcome this morning to Seneca Community Church. My name is Josh. I'm the associate pastor here. Our pastor, senior pastor Dave, is on vacation this week. We could be praying for him for good rest. But my name is Josh. I'm the associate pastor, and it's just awesome to be here with you this morning. If I just met you this morning, or if I've never met you before, hello, good to be here with you this morning. And if I have met you before, and this is your many times here, welcome back. Very good to be with you this morning. I'm excited. If you've been with us or you needed a little bit of a refresh or an introduction, we've been in a series called Twisters. And in this series, we've been looking at different scriptures that can often be just misunderstood or twisted out of context to mean something that they did not originally mean. Today we'll be looking at an all-too-familiar verse for many Christians, or really for anybody who's just seen any coffee mugs anywhere, and that's Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. It'll also be up here on the screen for you. That's Philippians 4, verse 13. In the New King James Version, which is the version that I see most places, it says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Maybe you've seen that on something like this. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." It's a feel-good coffee mug verse. Maybe you've seen something like this. In the sports world, "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." Or maybe you've seen it on somebody's wall in their home as a decoration, "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." Or my personal favorite, "I can do all things" through a verse taken out of context. Now, here's a good question. Is this verse actually for real? Does it give a real hope? And I do want to talk about that. But then at the same time, "I can do all things" through a verse taken out of context. How is this often twisted and changed to mean something a little bit different? So first of all, this verse does offer real hope. Real hope. Is this a real hope when we come to this verse? If you read a little bit of the context of this verse, and I'm going to read this in the ESV, because that's the Bible I have at home, and I have in front of me, in the ESV, and it'll also be here on screen. You just read, this is the verses surrounding it. So the verses in the end is verse 13. Starting in verse 11, it says this. It says, "Now, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, and abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me." So simply put, No matter what circumstances you're in, whether they're good or they're bad or easy or hard, believing in Jesus comes with a real hope, a real promise that he's going to be with you. He's going to help you, and he's going to strengthen you, and no matter what circumstance you're in. That's a real hope. That's a real promise. So if you're looking for real hope today in hard circumstances, or you're just looking for something that's more to life in good circumstances, whatever it is, the answer is Jesus. He is the answer. He is the real hope that we have in this life and in the next life. He's the real hope. But Jesus sees every single person's circumstance essentially the same. Back up a bit. Believing in Jesus comes with a promise that he will help you. But Jesus sees every single person's circumstance essentially the same. Not that the life circumstance is the same, but the circumstance of your heart is the same. Every person's heart is sick. It's dying. It needs hope because every human being has a heart problem. And that's the bad news. We all have a heart problem. Now, I'm not talking about a physical malady, something that you need surgery to correct. I'm talking about something that's a little bit more spiritual, actually. Mental, on your conscience, something that's written into your existence as a human being, and that is that we have a heart problem. Our mindset is the very thing that we think about life with is sick. We continue to think, I can do it by myself. That's our heart problem. I can do it by myself. We think we can do it by ourselves. Now, you're probably here today because you've tried that, and it hasn't really worked out for you. Or maybe you're just wondering that there's a little bit more to life than just simply you. And that's actually God tugging at your heart, because he's created each and every one of us to love and be loved by him. God created me to be dependent on him. God created us to be dependent on him. And the great lie and the great deception that we hit every single day as human beings is, well, I think I can do it by myself. And I get deceived into thinking, well, I can be independent. I don't need to be dependent on anybody. I can be dependent on only just myself, independent of anybody else. What we want is to be free from God's control, or just free from any sort of control, free to be ourselves, to function on our own. And that isn't in itself a rebellion against God, because he created us. He created us to love and be loved by him, and he created us to be dependent on him. And so when we seek out that independence, that's rebellion against God. It's called sin. Sin is disobedience to God, disobedience to his created order. And again, this is the bad news that we have to accept, because the punishment for sin is death. I can't do any amount of good to fix it. I can't fix my own mindset, can't fix my own heart. I don't have the ability to change my spiritual state or my mental state or my mind. We can try to change our minds, but no matter how much we do, our minds will always go back to this default, thinking I can do it by myself. I stand before God guilty of rebelling against him and guilty of sin and punishment by death forever. See, we find this verse in chapter 6 of Romans in the Bible. It starts like this: for the wages of sin is death, and that's the bad news. But in order to accept the good news, which comes next, we need to accept the bad news first. The wages of sin is death. Good news is that the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. What does that mean? The good news is that Jesus came. Jesus came. He came to live the life that we could not live, with a mind that was tempted by many of the same things, or the exact same things that we ever tempted by every single day, to rely on himself. But he chose to not rely on himself and instead depend completely on God. Depending on God. And he came to live a perfect life and then die in our place. He came to take on the punishment of our sin, the punishment of our sin being death forever. He took that on to take away my guilt. He died on a cross. He died on a cross for me, for you, to take away my guilt. To take away my guilt. And he has mercy for us. And that means that if you believe in Jesus, if you put him first in your life, and you believe in him as your Lord, if you repent, that's a big word that just simply means turn away from sin. He promises new life. If I believe in Jesus and turn from my sin, he promises me new life. And that is a good hope. It's a new life that will last forever. And when we believe in Jesus, our eyes are actually taken off our current circumstances. Whether they're good or they're bad, it doesn't quite matter, because we're overwhelmed instead by the mercy that God has for us, that we as rebels before him would be guilty before him without anything that he would do. And he decided to do something about it, and he came, took on our punishment, took on our sin for us, and if we believe in him, that is our hope. Our hope is that he helps us take our eyes off of ourselves and put them on him. Take our eyes off of our circumstances and put them on him. And he does promise to help us in this life no matter what. When we put our faith in Jesus, he doesn't just let us be alone. He doesn't say, all right, great, good job, that's it. No, he's then with us. He promises us, if I believe in Jesus, he will help me. That's his promise. It's right here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through him, Christ, who gives me strength. That is the good, real hope promise, that when you put your faith in Jesus, he does help you, no matter what your circumstances are. Because they can be good, bad, anywhere in between. No matter how we even see our circumstances, how we see Jesus changes everything about how we see our circumstances. If I believe in Jesus, I can be content knowing that he will help me. Now, if that all sounds weird, but also kind of intriguing, and maybe you've kind of considered that before, or maybe you've never considered that before in your life. If that sounds weird, intriguing, or you just kind of want to talk about that a little bit more with somebody, I would absolutely love to meet you. I'd love to talk with you. I'd love to connect you to some other people who you can talk to who know what this really means in my life, because it's changed my life. It's changed many other people's lives throughout history to have a relationship with Jesus, to believe in him, and he helps us. So if you haven't taken that step and you don't really know what that means, or you'd just like a little bit of help of figuring out how that actually changes your life, there'll be people up here or over there after the service who would love to meet you, to pray with you, just kind of give you some steps. Or you can actually fill out a card that we have either in your program or in the back. Fill out a card, or if you are online or you're in person and just want it to be a little bit more anonymous, you can actually fill it out on our website. Just go to sac.website. Click on that little button right there. It says Online Connect Card. Fill it out. See what happens. We'll get you connected to somebody, and we'll talk a little bit more about what it means to believe in Jesus and what it means to be, what it means that he actually will help you. Or if you've just come into this church today, I've met a few of you who are just here this morning, and you just want to be connected to SEC and see what's going on, it's also a good way of getting connected, getting connected to our various ministries and things like that. Right there, fill that out. Or just come talk to us. We'd love to meet you. It's usually a good experience, at least I think it is. So, does this verse offer a real hope? Yes, absolutely it does. When you believe in Jesus, he promises to help you and give you strength to live for him in all things. But what does all things mean? Because when we become a Christian and we put our faith in Jesus, we can take this promise that he's going to be with us and help us. And in the context of these verses, it's pretty clear he's going to help us be content in all circumstances. That's what he's promising to help us with. We can take this verse and twist it just ever so slightly. Let's read the NIV version. So if you have a pew Bible, it'd actually be right there in that Bible as well. It's the NIV. And this version says it a little bit differently, but almost the same. But the way it says it at the end is really key. It says, I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in every and any situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Said a little bit differently. Most other versions of Scripture don't say I can do all this. It says I can do all things. That is what it means, is I can do all things. But what this version puts it is, it puts it in the context of what is actually being said before it. I can do all this. Well, what's this? To be content in every circumstance, knowing that God will help me in every circumstance, gives me contentment. It makes me be able to do all things, and the strength that he provides is how we have hope. But the subtle twist here, the twist is this. If I believe in Jesus, therefore I can do anything. It doesn't quite sound wrong, but it can have disastrous consequences if we let it just stay right there like that. Doesn't quite sound wrong, but it can really start to become about my plans and my ability. When we look at life and we want to make plans, I want to go this way or that way or this direction or what have you, it starts to think about my plans or my ability. I have struggled with this my whole life, thinking about, okay, I'm going to make the plan just because God has gifted me as somebody who just likes making plans. I like making plans. I like thinking through the details. When I think about a plan, I'm like, okay, great, there we go. There's the plan. But God loves to come in and remind me that my plans are not exactly how it's going to go every single time. I can't predict the future. Things in life are going to happen that are unpredictable, which is really frustrating for me as a planner, as a type A person. I'm like, I would like it to be 1, 2, 3, but it is not. It is 1A12. Like, it just happens. That's just how life goes. So God promises to give me strength, and I need it. But let's talk about it. It is not my plans. Because I believe in Jesus, I can accomplish anything, is the false hope. And that's really important, because if we believe this false hope, God will accomplish my plans, and then it sets us up for disappointment in Jesus, or in God, who's fully in charge of all things. And if we think that he's going to help us me accomplish my plans, and then he doesn't, well, all of a sudden, God looks like a failure. But he's not the failure in that situation. The secret sauce of life's success seems to be at hand. If we think about it, if I believe in Jesus, I can accomplish anything. Well, that sounds like the secret sauce of life that I've been missing my whole life. Fantastic, amazing, great. All I needed was faith in Jesus and I can accomplish anything? Okay, cool. I'm going to have a career. I'm going to get married. I'm going to be able to provide for a family. I'm going to use my money well. I'm going to be able to love my wife without ever making her mad. I'm going to be able to love my kids well without ever getting angry. My kids will all be Christians. My friends will become Christians. We will have good insurance. Whatever. We'll have a house big enough to host people. We'll be able to have maybe a boat one day on the lake. I'll start my own company. I'll start a YouTube channel. Start making money. I'll get a college degree. Be a pastor. I won't have to go to counseling anymore. Things like that. I could go on, and none of those things are necessarily bad. None of them are bad. But maybe take a second to look around, or just listen to the laughter. Take a second to look around at the more seasoned folks in the audience. Maybe some people who have been through this life a little bit more than you have. Go ahead, take a look around. Maybe think about somebody, if you're online, that has been a little more seasoned. You can probably see on their faces either cringing because they're disturbed by how insane this mindset is, or they're probably laughing, I've heard some laughter, about how idealized and how just young and silly this seems. Well, why is that? Well, maybe you even recognize a little hint of, oh yeah, I thought that once when I was younger. You may still see a little bit of a hint of that false hope, that if I believe in Jesus, I can accomplish anything, and I'm still trying to do it. But that false hope, instead of God will help me in my circumstances, is that God will help me accomplish my plans. And usually, our plans don't account for sin or suffering. My plans don't usually account for sin or suffering. I think, okay, here's how I want life to go. I believe in Jesus, and there's nothing really standing in my way because God is all-powerful. But my plans don't usually account for sin or suffering. It doesn't account that when I come to Jesus, I still need his help to overcome the sin that's in my life because I'm going to continue to try to think that I can do it on my own. Or I can continue to try to think that my plans are the best. But it's not about my plans. It's about God's plans, and God's plans include sin and suffering. He is a solution for both. When he brings us to him, the hope that we have for life, the plans that we have for life all of a sudden seem a little strange, because no one really plans on having a rocky marriage. No one plans on having an addiction. No one plans on being lonely or having angry outbursts. No one plans on getting cancer. No one plans on losing a loved one unexpectedly. Insert your most recent life hardship here. No one plans on these things. But God does. God plans on including sin and suffering, and believing in Jesus doesn't necessarily guarantee that you're going to get rid of all sin and all suffering immediately. He knows human beings a little bit more better than we do. He knows ourselves better than we do. He knows that we're sinful human beings. We mess up all the time. Think we can do it on our own. And he knows that he's going to help us. He also knows that this world is not our home. It's not our forever home. He knows the brokenness that has been brought into it. He knows the brokenness of sin. He knows the brokenness of suffering. He knows our everyday experiences. And he loves us. And he's a good God. He's not trying to bring sin and suffering into your life in order to make you hurt more. He's not a God who just wants to make you hurt. He's a God who wants to love you through the hurt. So when the hurt and the pain come in life, which are hard, the only hope that we can ever have, because it's going to be here, there's no solving it. As much as modern medicine and technology will continue to advance, there is no way that we can ever take away all the pain and suffering in the world. There's only one solution, and that is God is sovereign over the pain and suffering, and he promises you, when you put your faith in him, that he will bring you to heaven one day where there'll be no more tears, no more dying, and everyone will be healed, and we'll be able to be with Jesus forever. And that is the only hope in this life. Because pain and suffering are going to continue, the only hope is his plan. Because his plan is the only one that includes sin and suffering. And the only one that gives it purpose. He plans hard things. The world's not the end, but he promises strength. You may actually go to accomplish some of these things, because your circumstances may be different, or may be similar to other people, but you may go on to accomplish some of the things I mentioned before. Some of the things that are not bad things. You might have a boat. Great. How are you going to use that to honor God? The thing I mentioned before, again, are not bad. They might be part of God's plan for you. But the secret is still the same. Whether the circumstances are here or there or whatever they are, the secret is still the same. You can do all things through the one who gives you strength. It's about his plans, and it's about his strength. It is not about my ability. It's not about my ability. We still have the same heart problem, right? When we come to Jesus, we recognize I have a heart problem. I want to do this by myself. We still have the same heart problem. I still think that I can do it by myself. Like, okay, here we go. Here comes life. I'm ready. We still think I can do it by myself. That's the heart problem we still have. Now, I personally, and this is Pastor Josh talking, I personally recently have continued to think throughout life, like in my own walk with Jesus and my relationship with him, I've thought that eventually, at some point, there'd be some sort of marker where I would be able to grow to a point where I wouldn't be sinning so much anymore, And I would just be, at least I figured not everything out, because obviously you don't figure everything out, but at least some things out, to the point where I feel like the Christian life maybe gets a little bit easier, and maybe there's like a trend upward from there. But that's not how it works. Because every time I've gotten to some sort of big growth point, or even small growth points, where God is like, oh yeah, okay, I'm going to help you get rid of that idol that's in your life, or I'm going to help you get rid of that selfish thought pattern, it comes back, or right under it is something new to be revealed to me that, yeah, I still don't measure up to God's holiness, and he's there to help me again. He's always there to help me. Always there to help me, and that is actually the hope. The hope is not getting to a place where somehow you're going to be able to make it. God is not actually in the business of making it easier for us, and we'll see that in a second. Because as you grow up, the expectations grow with you. To grow up, become more responsible when you become from a child to being an adult, and as you continue to be trusted with more and more things, responsibilities continues to grow. It is expected of you that you become maybe a little bit more independent, but it's expected of you that you'll be able to handle a little bit more responsibility. That doesn't mean that you don't ask for help. It just means that you're expected to be a little bit more responsible. Or in your Christian life, when you're walking with Jesus, you might be expected to have grown a little bit, to know a few things, but not just to know things, to consistently be living the kind of faith that God has planned for you. You can't keep growing, though, if there's no challenge. You can't keep growing unless the challenges come. And the challenge will always come because, as I said, sin and suffering are always going to be here until heaven comes. And it's in these moments when you can decide whether you're going to ask for help or try to ignore it or hide from it or run from it. Those are your choices. But God, the challenge is that you still don't know everything. We are expected to be more responsible, expected to grow, but we still don't know everything. What's it got to do? Well, in that comes the challenge that God brings into our lives, and he is not in the business of making it easier. God is in the business of challenging us back to dependence. Not helping me be independent. This really changed the way that I thought about the Christian life, because I thought that God is trying to help me become more independent, like become like more able to do life well. But that's not actually what he's trying to do. He's trying to make us look more like him. And when Jesus lived his life here on this earth, he was completely dependent on God's strength. Completely dependent on him, prayed every single day for the strength to do the ministry that God had called him to do. And that's what he asks us to do. He's not in the business of challenging me back. He's not in the business of helping me be independent. He's in the business of challenging me back to dependence on him. Because that's my original heart problem. I think I can do it by myself. It's still my heart problem. And God is trying to show you, to show me that that's what he's here to solve, to be dependent on him. As a matter of fact, he created this world, and everything in this world is sustained by him, and if he left his finger off, everything would cease to exist. See, the people that we think are so successful, the people we see as successful, the people we see that are independent in this world, are still dependent on other people. They're still dependent on whether it's a successful business person. A successful business person is still dependent on the market. It's still dependent on their company doing well. It's dependent on the people liking their product. The most independent people who work for themselves are still dependent on somebody. You're always depending on something, and you're always asking for help. The question is, where are you going to ask? Where are you going to ask? And whose plans are you going to go about life with? Because Jesus promises to give you his strength to accomplish his plans. It's pretty simple, but it's really hard in practical daily life. Jesus gives you his strength to accomplish his plans. So how does that actually work? Having hope in all things. How does this actually work? We have hope. God has empowered us. How does this work? Well, when it comes to plans, hold plans loosely. Hold plans loosely. I get reminders all the time, whether it's from my wife or other people, a lot of reminders from my wife, and I'm very thankful for her, because I have very much the tendency to hold on to plans like this. Like, this is my plan, and this is how it's going to go. And I get very stubborn, but I need that good reminder to let go of my plans and hold them like this. So sometimes I'll use these three emojis in my texting just to remind myself and to remind other people my plans need to be held like this, because they're ultimately, all plans are God's plans, and he's the one who gives strength. So if I ever text this to you, that's what I'm reminding us. God has everything in his hands, and I need to hold my plans like this. Every single day, I need to hold my plans like this. So when it comes to plans, hold your plans loosely. I'm not in control. You're not in control. God is in control, and that's good. But that daily surrender requires regular reminders. So when it comes to strength, I want to bring us over to a Bible passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10, because this is another big passage that can sometimes be misunderstood, but has a lot to do with what we're talking about right here. It says in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, it says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" This is not saying that we need to seek out sin, or we need to seek out suffering, we need to seek out hardships, persecutions, and difficulties. And it doesn't mean that we need to be happy about going through them. But what changes here is our delight. Instead of delighting in your independence, delight in dependence on Christ. There's a lot to unpack there. I encourage you to go home and study those verses from 2 Corinthians and read the context, actually. Read the other verses beforehand. Read chapter 11. Because the guy who wrote this, his name is Paul, and he goes through a lot of really not great things. He gives a whole list there of shipwrecks and whippings and beatings and stonings and a lot of bad stuff. And it kind of makes me think like, oh, well, okay, the bad things I've gone through are not that bad. But that doesn't mean that they don't hurt. So instead of delighting in your independence, trying to get through it your own way, trying to be in charge of your own life, delight in dependence on Jesus. Delight in dependence on Christ. When it says boast in your weaknesses, it doesn't mean, I like pain. That's not what it means. It means delighting in dependence on Jesus means, yes, I am in pain, but I know God is with me, and I know that this is not forever. He will bring me to be with him, and there is hope. It's the best and most freeing place to be. As a matter of fact, actually, on that men's group on this past Friday, that was kind of the thought that we ended on, is the most freeing place to be is in admitting weakness. Admitting our weaknesses to Jesus, and that's actually the point where he meets us. That's the point where he meets us in this life, where we know our need for his strength, and he comes in and empowers us to do the thing that we think we can't. And we can take comfort knowing that he's going to be with us, even when we feel unable. Actually, we can take comfort that he's going to be with us, especially when we feel unable. So instead of looking for an escape from circumstances, look to God's help to be content. This is easy sometimes. Well, not really, actually. This is always hard. This is difficult, because, as I said, our minds are constantly trying to think we can do it. I can do it. But instead of looking for an escape from circumstances, look to God's help to be content. I have a couple of stories. Well, I have three stories, three kind of life pictures, pictures of what life could look like either for you or for somebody else who's near you. In conclusion today, just to give a way of illustration of what Philippians 4:13 in context might actually look like. Instead of looking for an escape from circumstances, look to God's help to be content in sports. Because when you see this verse, you can often see it in, you know, in the context of sports. So let's talk about our friend Tim. This is a fictional character, but I hope you find some sort of relatability to it. His name's Tim. He's a high school kid. He's in 10th grade, and he's a soccer player. Now, he's very committed to being a soccer player. He's very committed to the sport, loves playing, and he loves being on his team. Comes to church with his family. He knows Jesus, and he knows Philippians 4:13. As he plays soccer, he's determined to work hard and do well at the sport, but he also wants to honor God while doing it. And so he prays before and after games for strength. Sometimes he uses Philippians 4:13 to encourage himself that he can play soccer to the best of the strength that God has given him. But he knows that even though he prays to win the game, sometimes he loses. Sometimes his team loses. Sometimes he's frustrated at other players. Sometimes it just doesn't work out the exact way that we think. After a tough 5-1 loss one day, he prays to God asking for strength to continue to perform well and not let that loss shake him or shake his team or his faith. He expresses to God he's pretty disappointed, but he trusts that God is in control. Tim tells his friend, who's really upset, "Yeah, it's really tough. I don't like it either that we lost. There's always next time, though, and let's keep getting better. Let's keep getting stronger, and let's keep playing well as a team." Instead of looking for an escape from those bad circumstances, look to God's help to be content in the hospital. There was a woman a few years ago who was about to turn 30 years old, and she received the news from her doctors that she had a tumor on her brain. The tumor was cancerous, and they told her that she probably only had 6 months to a year to live. Her husband went to church, and then they went to church, they were members of the church, they were involved in ministries. When they asked for prayer for the situation, many people prayed in Jesus' name for a miraculous healing in her life. But this woman prayed for peace. She prayed for peace that passes understanding and for the opportunity to witness to the doctors, to witness to the visitors in the hospital, and her church family. She wanted to witness that kind of peace that comes from God and God alone, that he gives in really hard times. And if you knew her at the time, you could sense that peace. You could sense the peace and the pain that she had through her trouble and through the end. Because this woman went to be with Jesus in heaven a short time later. And the people who are saddened by her loss, this is an actual story, are comforted today to know that she is with Jesus. She is fully healed in his presence in heaven. And she's praising God forever. But she leaves us here. And instead of looking for an escape from circumstances, we need to look for God's help to be content. We need to look for God's help to be content in my family. There's a young couple. Young couple with a child who have a home that they own in town. This young couple faithfully comes to church. And actually, they're involved in several of the ministries and opportunities. Their home has things they need to repair, but they thank God for their home and for their old car that provides them what they need to get from place to place, from for shelter. They have enough space to be able to host some things, and they're thankful. And they pray for strength to be good parents, strength for continued financial provision, and they express their worry to God about the unexpected things that could come in life. They express things to God saying, please give us this thing in life that we think, they just express to God their worry about the unpredictable things that could happen in life. They really want to do well with what they have, and they trust in Jesus, holding on to that hope that brings contentment in all circumstances. They know they have it better than some people. They know they could have it better than they do, but they also know that God has provided what they have. So they look around for ways to honor God with what they have. And they make plans in order to raise a good family and have a good, healthy marriage. And they make plans to raise their child well and talk about how they're going to do that. And they come to church every week, faithfully, just for a reminder of that hope. That hope that brings contentment in all circumstances. And that hope is be content with God's help. Be content with God's help. There's a double meaning there. Be content with God's help. He's going to help you, and no matter the circumstance you're in, whether it's in sports, in the hospital, or in your family, or any other situation in life, literally any situation, he's going to help you be content. But also, in any situation, be content with God's help, because you can look anywhere else for help. There are lots of other places you can look for help. A lot of those are just going to simply be, I think I got this. I'm only going to look to myself. But be content with God's help. I mean, sometimes he doesn't change your circumstance. Sometimes he just wants to teach you something. So be content with God's help. That video from the beginning, that music video, 25 million views. It's not a bad song. Kind of catchy and peppy. Makes you feel good. So if that's for you, you can go look at that song. But I thought it was very interesting. So when I looked at the post, looked at the comments on this video, wondered what people were thinking about it. The top comment, it has 1,300 likes on this video, is this. Hey family, I love the song, but let's not forget all glory to our Father, because we are not the ones moving the mountains. It's our God. Everything 100% positive to glory to our Father. Anything shorter than that is our flaws. Jesus the Savior, much loves to all. Hallelujah indeed. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the way that you help us, no matter what the circumstances, no matter how hard they are, no matter how difficult they are. God, I just pray that if this promise that you give us in your word, I pray that if this promise that you're going to help us no matter what, if that intrigues anybody who's never really believed that, I pray that they would believe it today, and that they would come talk to me or come talk to the people who are standing up here right now, or just fill out that online connect card, get connected, and find someone to discuss what it actually means that you help us. God, I pray for those who have known you for a while now, and I pray that as they go from here, Lord, that they would be relying on your strength and your power and trust in your plans and trust that even if their circumstances don't change like they've been praying, that you are in it, you are good, and you have given us hope that this is not the end and that in it there is a way to glorify you. There's a way to honor you. There's a way to find contentment in you. It doesn't necessarily take the pain away, but it does make it better, because we're with you. God, I just pray that we would be strengthened by your name and to have your help to go through today and this week as we come back, hopefully come back together next week. And Lord, thank you for this day. In your name, Jesus, I pray.